Good morning. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 13. Verses 24-41. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, "Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn."' He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened.' All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.'"
Well, brothers and sisters, it's a privilege to be able to share something with you this morning that I hope will encourage your hearts. When Lynn and I had a break away and caught up with Daniel and Holly, we kind of had an idea in our mind. We knew we were going to go to Cairns, and then we knew we were going to go up the mountain to where they were staying, and a place called Speewah. We'd never been there before. We'd been nearby, a place called Kuranda. Very beautiful sort of hinterland, kind of tropical rainforest area. And it was tremendously impressive seeing a part of Australia that's altogether different to the kind of the bush that I'm used to and I know and love and are kind of familiar in. Very beautiful, but a very different kind of beauty. And the place where Daniel and Holly were staying was a place called Speewah Gardens. And back in the 70s, I think it was a hippie commune, perhaps an attempt at kind of a tropical paradise on earth. And probably in the days before quarantine rules that were strictly enforced, probably there were always quarantine rules, but what had happened is the people that lived there came and went, and when they travelled back to Australia from various parts of the world, they would bring seeds. Not allowed to do that anymore, probably weren't allowed to do it then, but they would bring seeds from all sorts of exotic places, and so there are palms of all sorts. It's almost like a privately owned botanical garden. It was just amazingly beautiful. It was a flower producing farm as well as an event center. Daniel and Holly had the privilege of parking their bus there and living in amongst it, working there for a number of weeks. They've only just left. And then Lynn and I, we had the privilege of parking in there beside them and having the holiday there with them. But the garden was spectacular. And there were flowers there that I can't remember the name of, but just absolutely beautiful. All sorts of fruits. Coconuts would fall off the trees. You had to be a bit careful about that. And there was even a plant called, I think it was like a chocolate pudding plant. And it honestly tasted like chocolate pudding. There were berries that grew on the trunks and on the branches of trees. They didn't, what were they called? Those sort of berries. And it was just spectacularly beautiful. Just had the fingerprints of God just all over it. And the scripture says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 that the creation speaks clearly to us of the Creator. And so it was very different, very beautiful. And it made me think about the fact that, you know, it all began for us in a garden. And it was beautiful. And it was good. And when God made us, he said it was very good. And God made man. And so the garden thing, the garden sort of, even though not all of us are great gardeners and not all of our houses sort of look spectacularly beautiful, some people just have natural ability. And I'm not going to show my ignorance about gardening because I know there are people here cleverer than me when it comes to gardening. I discovered actually during the week that I had a hippie astrum. Is that close, Barbara? And I was going to bring it in this morning and show it off. And I was going to bring the one that hasn't sort of grown, which is just like a pot with some weeds in it, I must confess. Just a few leaves sticking out. But this one just shot up and these three spectacular flowers fully planned to bring it in and show off my hippie astrum. Found out from Barbara what it was the other day. I started describing it. She knew exactly what it was. I tell you what else I brought in out of my garden, though. There's other things that grow in my garden. These grow really easily. Now, they spread out by the roots, but not only do they spread out by the roots, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. Linda helped me with a bit of weeding yesterday. Oh, there's another. If anyone wants to plant a lawn, I've got plenty to spare. Oh, no, there's another. See, they just spread out. It's a tremendously satisfying feeling when you're pulling out one of these roots and you're just pulling gently, 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 and you get it out. Oh, there's an. I don't know what that one is. No, it's not rhubarb. I tell you what, there's a few of these that have started as well. Hey, what a beauty. Look at the pathetic root system on them, but boy, they grow. Oh, no, this is nothing to show off about, is it really, when you think about it? But here we go. They start off like that. Just little weeds, yeah. Now, this is what I'm trying to get to. Oh, that's right. Not only do these things grow by roots that sneak out almost just under the soil, but they actually grow by seed as well. So they're sneaky things. So the seed can just blow across your garden and settle there. I've got one more weed in here. Well, it's sort of, I don't know whether it's classed as a weed or not, but this is a clever plant. This is called dock. All right. This is like a bottle of Stingos in your garden. Because if you get these dock leaves and you roll them in your fingers and you get the juice out, and you can put them on whatever might have bitten you, a wasp, a bee, a stinging nettle, a bull ant, clever little plant. I don't think I'd call that a weed. I always like having a little bit of dock growing. So there anyway, now my hands are dirty. How am I going to touch my Bible now? But yeah, so there's some lovely things growing in my garden, but there's also some stuff that is a real nuisance. And I just thought it's good for us to read this scripture today and think about the garden that is our lives, the garden that God is cultivating, that you're part of, that you're planted in. And I just want to ask, how's the garden growing? How's the garden growing? Because this parable, or this series of parables really, that in Matthew chapter 13, you know, the very familiar parable, the parable of the sower. talks about the response of the soil to the seed. We're kind of familiar with that one. But this is the next one that Jesus lays out to people. And a parable is something that is, in a sense, thrown alongside of people. Jesus, that's how Jesus spoke to people. Often the disciples would ask for an explanation, and they did with the parable of the sower, and they did with this parable also. What does it mean, Lord? And Jesus says something to them, as if you read the whole of the chapter. I don't know how many people just read the part that we sent out, or whether you read a bit more widely. I always encourage you to read a bit more widely. But Jesus says something about the truth that he's holding out to people. He says some people are dull and are not inclined to listen or to inquire or to look and seek to understand. And some people are. And in verse 16 and 17, he says this: blessed are you because your eyes, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I wonder how many of us are blessed because our eyes are open and our ears are hearing. For I tell you the truth, listen to this, I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Isn't that astounding? The very thing that we've got written before us today, the very thing that has been read, people long before this, Jesus is saying, faithful people, godly people, people that God had used, had looked forward to this but had never seen it. But we as a people have the privilege, the disciples then and disciples now, have the privilege of seeing something precious. Because the secret things of life, the things that we don't readily understand, that we don't readily take hold of, the secret things of the kingdom of God are opened to us, are open to you today. The Word and His Spirit are at work in hearts and lives today. And I pray that there'll be one thing, at least one thing that you would walk away with today and say, Lord, I want to know more of what it is that you're quickening my heart about. I want to see, I want to hear. Lord, I want good seed planted in me. Well, I pray there'll be a sense of realization. I pray there'll be a sense even of recognizing the opportunity that is here before us today as we just look at this parable again about the kingdom of heaven. Each parable was introduced except for the first one, saying the kingdom of heaven is like. It's putting something alongside that we might see. Oh yeah, I kind of understand. I understand about the way that seeds maybe respond to different sorts of soil. Oh yeah, I understand. I've seen where there's been wheat and weeds growing up together. I've got some example of that happens in my garden. And so Jesus puts alongside us things that will cause us to think and cause us to consider and cause us to understand the important things of life, that we might be better equipped to live and to follow him. So let me just pray and ask the Lord to enable us. Father, we just pray that as we come today with your word before us, that, Lord, it wouldn't be anything that I attempt to be clever in that would be impressed upon people's hearts. Because, Lord, I know how not clever I am. And, Lord, I think we know how not clever we are. But, Father, I pray that by the very words that your Son spoke and by the very quickening of your Spirit in our lives, there will be things that we grasp today that we need to grasp, that we need to see, we need to hear. And Father, we need to be responsive and to follow you in. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. My prayer is that there will be things that we'll be realizing today
that we'd actually realize that actually because of what the parable says and because of what Jesus said about the parable, where he said, you know, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. So it's Jesus doing this, the sowing. I pray that we'd be realizing that God is the one that always takes the initiative, not us. He's the one that's taking the initiative. And it's good what he does. I pray there'll be a realization for us that he's always at work in his world. Jesus declares that. My Father is always at work in his world to this very day, and I too am working, Jesus said in John chapter 5. It's his initiative. And I think sometimes we might read Matthew 13 and we think, oh, I wonder, is God being fair? Because, you know, why isn't the people? Why aren't people seeing? Why aren't people hearing? God is always fair. God is always just. God is loving towards all he has made. But he doesn't force people to hear. He doesn't force people to see. But he puts this truth alongside to cause us to be considering. He is good and he is loving and he is the just judge. And that's a reality. And he has a greater purpose for you and for me than any of us would ever think of. He has greater purpose in mind for you than you do. My prayer too is that today that you might see there's an opportunity still for some seeing and for some hearing. There's an opportunity for some trusting and some receiving. And there's an opportunity to grow or not. So you could grow today. You could take some steps in growing, or you could have your mind shut off and you could sit there in dullness of heart. There's an opportunity today, and there's a reason to take this opportunity, and something that will be just an amazing outcome from it. I did my introduction about Speewah Gardens first, and now they're in my notes in a different place to what I expected. But that's okay. It was magnificent to see what had been planted there, let me tell you. It was just a sense of wonder. And I'm guessing those that planted it had a sense of expectation of what would one day be. I think God has a sense of expectation of what will one day be. God has a sense of knowing what will be. And so I wonder whether we can read this and read it with a sense of saying, wonder, Lord, what is it that you expect? What is it that Lord, you're calling me to be part of? So the one who sowed the seed is Jesus, the Son of Man. The field that the seed was sown in is the world. And the thing that stands out about this parable that is different to the one that precedes it, where the seed was the word of God that was sown into people's hearts. Here, it refers to the seed as being the sons of the kingdom. People like us that are planted. God has taken the initiative and planted us. The truth that he's planted in us has brought transformation in our lives. And then he plants us with an expectation and an anticipation that will also bring transformation. And the world needs it, don't you think? And I believe God has planted us as Lakes Entrance Baptist Church at this very time for this very reason. And there is the reality that there are weeds also that have been planted. Jesus didn't do it, Father didn't do it, but Satan has done it. And there's the reality and the realization that we need to accept that we're not living in Eden anymore. But there we live in a world that is plagued by weeds. And there are people that live in the world that don't have kingdom of God things in mind. The scriptures tell us that the wheat and the weeds are sown together. I want to flick back to Isaiah 61 because this is also a beautiful picture of what God has taken
the initiative in. Isaiah 60, 61 and 62 talk about a purpose that we would not come up with by ourselves. I wouldn't come up with this by myself. Wouldn't enter my head. I need God's word to tell me his purposes, his purpose for me, his purpose for us. It's interesting what God takes and works with, I reckon. I was pondering this during the week and thinking about what God does. And these are familiar words. This is the words that Jesus spoke when he was passed the scroll and he read from this part. We see it recorded in Luke chapter 4. And Isaiah wrote these 700 years before that, and Jesus fulfilled it when he came. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, verse 1, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for captives, the release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, and to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Now, as I said, we're familiar with those words. Jesus quoted those words. He said, this is why I've come, to do this very thing. But I looked at this in a fresh way and I thought, what is it that God takes and works with? Because if we continue to read on, after it says to bestow on them a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, if we continue to read on, we get this beautiful garden picture again. And it says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. If we go back into Isaiah 60 and the latter part of verse 21, we see the same sort of statement. They are the shoot that I've planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. Now, that wouldn't have occurred to me without the word of God telling me that this is so. I'm assuming when the collective of people contributed to what is now Speewah Gardens, I'm guessing there was a sense of expectation that the planting of all these trees and these exotic plants, and I'm believing there was a sense of expectation that one day this will not only look spectacular, but it'll be wonderful to be part of, and the harvest that will come from these various trees, it'll be a beautiful thing. And it is. Pretty early in the piece, when we bought the place out of town, I dug up an area that didn't have too much. I picked an area that didn't have too much of this in it. I thought, that will be easiest. It probably was because the soil wasn't as good there, as I look back in retrospect. I've since dug up another area and now got two gardens going. But I've done it with a sense of expectation, a sense of anticipation that there's going to be something good come of this. And I see this, and I look at what God takes and he works with. What does he work with? He says, I'm going to preach good news to the poor. I'm going to bind up the brokenhearted. So we've got the poor, the brokenhearted. I'm going to proclaim freedom for the captives. So I've got the poor, the brokenhearted, and the captives. Isn't it good material to start working with? I've got people who are in prison. I've got people who mourn. I've got people who grieve. I've got people who their whole life is, in a sense, despairing. And that's what I start with. And we can look at our lives and we can come here before God and we can say, well, actually, God, I'm pretty good. Or we can come honestly before God and say, Lord, I desperately need you because I'm not that good. In fact, I'm broken and poor and bankrupt
and in desperate need of your forgiveness and your grace and your love that which would redeem my life from being wasted. If we have a false sense of who we are and thinking we've got something to offer God, instead of realizing that actually what we need is what He offers us. And so I see here that God takes the weak and the foolish things, the things that are not. He takes the poor and the broken. He takes the people that are held captive and in prison. And He does a wonderful thing. And He says, they will be called oaks of righteousness. A complete change to the description before. A planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. And not only will they be for the display of His splendor, they will then do things that is going to be redemptive in the world around them. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. I wonder whether we actually forget who we are in Christ. I wonder whether it doesn't even occur to us the purpose, the great purpose that God has got for us. And we get consumed almost thinking like weeds. Thinking it's all about me. It's all about whether I feel satisfied. It's all about whether I'm enjoying myself. I've got a friend that has declared to me a couple of times, you know, we're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time. Well, he's right about we're not here for a long time. But he's not right about that we're just here for a good time. Now, I'm not anti-good time. But I think there's a greater purpose that God has got for us. There's a greater sense of anticipation. There's a purpose in His salvation that is more about Him than it is about you or me. That we are a planting of the Lord. We are there for the display of His splendor. And I tell you again, that would not occur to me unless the Word of God laid it out to me. And if you would go away from today and realizing, Lord, I want to see afresh what it means to live for the display of Your splendor, then that would be a good thing to go away with. To know that you are a son of the kingdom that God has planted for a reason, that we are sons of the kingdom. And I'm not excluding our sisters here when I say the word sons. Because sons, when this was written, were the ones that got the inheritance. We have all got the inheritance. If you have accepted what God has done through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you said, yes, I desperately need You to save me, Lord. I need You to heal my broken heart. I need Your comfort, Lord, where I have grieved and been lost in despair. Lord, I need good news in this poor heart. God sows that in and He brings transformation. The truth that transforms. But more than that, He then plants us together for a great display of His splendor. And I think that's exciting. I don't know whether you would allow your heart to get excited about that. It will be a good thing to be excited about. One of the first things I planted, one of the playgroup mums, Kath gave us some strawberries in a pot. They were moving and said, here, you can have these. Oh, great. Well, so we got a few crops of strawberries off them, and the pot was getting pretty crowded by the time we moved out there. I think I'll break all these out from being all sort of entwined, and I'll plant some strawberries. So I've got a good crop of strawberries, enjoying these beautiful, sweet strawberries, big strawberries, very sweet, lovely. Lynn and I were weeding the strawberries together, a lovely time together. She enjoys the strawberries. She should help me with the weeding. But a couple of days beforehand, I was there in the strawberries. I was looking at them, and I was seeing just down the end, the very end of the strawberry patch, there's these couple of strawberries that just not doing any good. They're not hardly yielding anything, and they've been there for a couple of years. I planted them, I've watered them. I've had a sense of expectation and anticipation. So I decided, I think I need to have a talk to these strawberries. Now, I know there are mental health professionals here and doctors, and you might say, well, Michael, I can get you help. If you're taken to talking to the strawberries, you do need help. Well, I was talking to the strawberries the other day, and I said, what's going on here? I've planted you. I've watered you. No fruit. What's happening? It gets worse. They talk back to me. And this strawberry said, listen, I'm a plant in my own right. You're not getting anything from me. If I grow anything, it's for me. I think you get the illustration. I wasn't talking to the strawberries. They didn't talk back. But hey, I planted the strawberries. They're in my garden. I planted them for a reason. Those strawberries are not long for the compost heap, those two plants. I might give them a little bit more time. I might fertilize them a bit more. I might water them some more and compost them some more. Just give them a bit more time. Just remind you of another parable of a fig tree and a vineyard. Jesus talked about this stuff a lot, didn't he? We kind of understand this sort of thing. God has a sense of expectation and anticipation that you're planted in his garden for a reason, for the display of his splendor. You might have to live with weeds. There are weeds around. But you don't have to think like one. You are not here just for a good time. You're not here for your own sense of satisfaction. You're not here just to please yourself and have fun. You're here because God has given you the opportunity to know him. And to know his love for you. And to know his redemptive purposes worked out in your life, where he would buy back your life by giving his only son. He plants good seed in your heart when you hear his message. When you start looking and seeking. And the good seed, when it grows, it produces good fruit, lasting fruit. Actually, the fruit that grows in you is actually the likeness of his son, Jesus. It's glorious. And even though weed seed is sown also with intent, its destiny is a fiery furnace. But when truth transforms our hearts, and when we realize the situation that we're in, we're not in heaven yet. Yep, there's weeds around. Yep, it's challenging and difficult. But realize that God has taken the initiative, that there's things that God intends to grow in you and through you. And there's a realization of purpose. Yeah, look what he started with. Poor, brokenhearted, captivated, imprisoned, mourning, grieving, in despair. And yet they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I'll finish with one more garden picture. When Sarah and Daniel were little, I had dreams of becoming a successful farmer and running cattle, and applied to lease some country that was behind the property that in the Kiwa Valley, and thought that would be really ideal. The lease had been used but not paid for by somebody else for a long time, and thought, well, I'll make application for that lease.
But the department, in their wisdom, didn't want to upset the mountain cattlemen that were using it but not paying for it. So they gave me some land to lease halfway up to Corryong, which was a long way away, but I took it. A place called Avondale, just in from Kooytong, which is just down the road from Corryong, which is just up the road from Tallangan. I've got great names in northeast Victoria. It was a disastrous project. It was too far away, and the locals knew that I was a long way away, and just when my young cattle got fat, they'd disappear. Probably into one of the locals' freezers. And so I didn't make any money out of it, but on this property, which was becoming a pine plantation, there had been once a house. The house was long gone, but the trees remained. A beautiful garden still stood there in the middle of those paddocks. And it was a testimony to what somebody had planted, to what somebody had anticipated, to what somebody had expected would be a beautiful place to live, and no doubt it was. Certainly it was a beautiful place for me to go up and look at my often diminishing herd of cattle. But I wonder whether we see ourselves as a planting of the Lord. I wonder, do we see ourselves as people that are planted for the display of his splendor? And I don't know whether you are inclined to look in the mirror of a morning and say, well, here I am, Lord, for the display of your splendor. Boy, you've got a lot to work with. You've got a lot of work to do with me. And yes, he does. And he's had to do a lot of work with me, and he ain't finished yet. But if we would go away and say, Lord, instead of me thinking like a weed and thinking I'm here just for a good time to satisfy myself, realize that you're not. You're here to reflect the loveliness of Jesus, the very gospel that has been planted in you and has saved you. It can be reflected from you as you grow in the likeness of Jesus, to take on that beautiful family likeness that glorifies God, and that the world is desperate to see some transforming truth because you've been planted here. And so I pray that we would see that there is a great purpose, there's a great challenge, there's great opportunity. Yes, there's great difficulty because the wheat and the weeds are planted together. But God will sort that out. And what does it say at the very last? In verse 43, it says this, and then the righteousness will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. How good's that? That you will shine, that we will shine so brightly that you can't miss it. I pray that we might see that we are a planting of the Lord, that he is glorified, and that we're saved from living for lesser things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the beauty of the garden that you placed us in, or placed man in when you made Adam and Eve. Thank you, Lord, that down through the revelation, we see glimpses of the beauty of the garden. Well, we see in what Isaiah says, something magnificent, that we would be called oaks of righteousness, something that is established and stands out and is strong and beautiful. But Lord, we're a planting of the Lord. Lord, cause us to recognize why we're here. Save us, Lord, from the folly of self-obsession and self-gratification. Lord, save us from thinking like a weed. Lord, open our eyes, I pray, to see. Lord, please be opening our ears to hear these significant things, these truth of the kingdom, Lord, that we need to grasp and take hold of, that we can grow in and live in. And Lord, we can shine for your glory. And
this we ask in Jesus' name.